are listening to the Friday, August the 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2014, broadcast of Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio. I'm Tom Baker. I'm all by myself today, even though during this past week we had a number of guests, Chris Ann Brunsman, Wes Reimnitz, Pastor Henry Gehrke. And on Open Mic Friday, you can call in with any question that you have on your mind. Here are the numbers if you want to write them down. In the St. Louis area, 821-0850. Toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. And I want to remind you that I have now opened up a Facebook page. First time I've ever done this. And it is facebook.com/Pastor Tom Baker. You don't have to be a Facebook member in order to get to that. You just type in facebook.com/Pastor Tom Baker, all as one word, and up will come a picture of me as well as what I'm putting on there. And today I talk about on Friday morning, it's Open Mic Friday at 9:30. And so I'm going to try and keep that up so you can take a look as to what we're going to be talking about. Also, there was a question what my email is. We've changed emails. To get a hold of me, lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And in both situations, the word "and" is spelled out. Well, before we get to calls, I've got a number of emails that I want to try and deal with. One of them is, I think, somewhat critical of me, but we'll talk about it. It was when I was talking against homosexuality, gay marriage, and women pastors some time ago. And here's what the individual writes to me. I won't give you his name, but considering the above observation, do you ever wonder whether such blustery tirades as today's might just be a waste of God's good gift of airtime? Are there not more important issues you might lead people to address in their witness to the world? While I do not necessarily disagree with everything you said, I am not sure that Christ or his church was well served by your first 15 minutes today. It certainly did not help me meet Jesus, feel welcomed or supported by the church, or grow in my discipleship. But then I doubt that any of that describes the mission of your program. Well, I do want to respond to that, especially in light of, by the way, which you might just have heard prior to this broadcast. And what was quoted was a book, a passage from Proverbs. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word leads to wrath. And the point is, of course, that when you're talking with someone, you want to be loving towards them. And therefore, you want to have a gentle answer towards them. For example, if somebody believed in evolution, it probably would be inappropriate for me to look at them and say, well, that kind of proves you're a monkey, because who would believe in evolution? That is so ridiculous. I doubt whether the conversation is going to carry on much further. Instead, we would want to talk like Pastor Worth did on KFUO early this morning from 8:45 to 9. The problem is, we were dealing with a subject, homosexuality, gay marriage, and women pastors that God considers to be an abomination. And although we want to try and do it in a gentle way, we need to understand that when somebody is hit by the severe law, they're going to get angry. So angry that they may even crucify you. And you know who I'm talking about. Jesus looks at the unbelieving Pharisees, and he says something along the lines that your father is the devil. Even to one of his best friends, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, there's no doubt that I'm not Jesus, and therefore it could be that I was stronger than what was necessary. I've listened to it again. I don't think I was, but maybe God does, and for that I would apologize. But when you're talking and people are listening, especially women pastors, and I refer to that as an abomination. And then I quote that this particular woman pastor was speaking out in support of homosexuality and gay marriage. So I quoted Romans chapter 1, that the women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women or were consumed with passion for one another. And that's referring to homosexuality. But then verse 32, though they know that God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And the point I was trying to make is when you give approval to a homosexual, and that homosexual in God's judgment will go to hell because of his unrepentance, you have contributed to that young man or woman not realizing what was in store for them. It's kind of like, and I've used this analogy before, I have a friend who's blind, and he doesn't like using a cane. And I remember he walks home from the church to his house, which wasn't that far, and he knew how to get there, even without a cane. And one day, the sewer people had opened up a hole in the sidewalk. Now, I don't know why they didn't put a ribbon around it to stop anybody from going into it, but there probably was a sign, which he can't read. He fell into that hole, and there was a stake at the bottom of it, and he just missed it. By God's grace, he was fine, except for some bruises. But imagine I saw him from across the street, and he was going towards that hole. And let's say, now, this isn't true about this particular blind person, but he's very embarrassed, say, a blind person, to let anybody know that he's blind. And you yell across the street, "Hey, look out for that hole in front of you. There's a hole in front of you. Don't keep going." And then he gets mad at you because you told everybody that he was blind. So would you keep quiet? Well, I would hope not. In fact, what this woman pastor was doing, using the same analogy, she was looking at a blind person moving towards a hole and said, "Just keep on going now. All things will be okay for you." This is what I was trying to get across. Now, I find it interesting that he only blasted the first 15 minutes of the program, so there was the rest of the program where I was talking about that homosexuality is no bigger a sin than my sins of gossip or anger or temper or whatever. So it kind of proves my point. Even though we need to do as best as we're able to, when you're doing severe law, people are not going to like it. And that's why I think many pastors in this country do not do severe law from their pulpit. I did a sermon here not that long ago, and I was making the point that a sermon is not a lecture. You can say everything that is correct in a sermon about theology, but until you touch the people in the pew, you're not really doing a sermon. And a sermon needs to be from a law and gospel point of view. You touch them with the law, blasting them for what they are doing, and then you touch them with the pillow of the gospel. As I said, our numbers here are 8210850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing real good.
Listen, I was listening to your show, I think it was Monday, when you were talking to that one lady. And you guys were talking about the ark and, you know, and stuff like that. Well, I'm looking at Genesis chapter 4, verse 22, and I'm just going to read the part that matters. It said, Tubal Cain's sister was Naamath. And according to Jewish tradition, Naamath was the fourth wife of Noah, and she was the only wife that got on the ark with Noah. I was thinking, are you familiar with anything like that?
No, I can't say I've heard that before. You weren't quoting a Bible verse there.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you may be correct, Mike. It's just that I'm ignorant as to whether or not that is correct. And you said you got that from a rabbi?
Right. It's a well, actually, it was in his book. I was reading his book, and not that he wrote the book, but he was just showing me some of his some just stuff that they show you, you know.
Yes, I understand.
And what it said, well, like I said, what I just said, but I mean, but even in college, I mean, they even you know they had a play about Noah, and they used the word Naamath, you know, as his wife. The play was about that Noah was an alcoholic and she was like a shrew, you know, which was all fiction, you know, as far as what actually happened in the play. But I mean, but it still stated that Naamath was his wife, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. But Nama is the name that you're talking about.
I say Naamath, but yeah, Nama, if you want to say.
Yeah, yeah. She was definitely, it says, a descendant of Cain.
Right.
Mentioned as the daughter of Lamech. And Zillah was her youngest son. So,
no, you mean Ham.
Pardon?
You mean Ham. Maybe, I'm looking at the sister of Tubal Cain.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and my information is that her brother was Tubal Cain. And maybe that's where the word Cain comes in,
right? And it says that. Well, anyway, her. Well, of course, it doesn't say that in here, but her son would have been Ham, the one on the ark.
Because
Noah had four sons.
That's right.
Only three of them actually went on the ark, according to tradition. And his other three wives, of course, didn't go on the ark, but their sons went on the ark.
Yeah, the Midrash is written by Jewish folks, and the Genesis Rabbah does identify Nama as the daughter of Lamech and sister as the wife of Noah. And while some Jewish traditions may not agree with that, this particular one from the Midrash did. So I sure appreciate your call, Mike.
All right, bye.
Thank you so much. Anybody else can call? Like I showed you there, I don't know the answer to everything. So if it's in the Midrash, which means it's not in the scripture, that means there is some speculation here, but that doesn't mean that whatever's in the Midrash is untrue. No. I remember in one of the Midrash, it talks about the fruit that Adam and Eve ate was the fruit of the vine where they make wine. And I find that very interesting because I was probably the thinking of the people in Jesus' day. And what was his first miracle? Changing water into wine. In my view, that's kind of a reversal of what has been happening at the Garden of Eden. Jesus began to reverse that in order to restore us, to save us. All right. Anybody else want to call? St. Louis area, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Let me read the next email. If a Christian lives in a state where marijuana is legal, would it be wrong for the Christian to use that drug? That's an excellent question. You see, this is what AIM 850KFUO is all about. Trying to answer your questions of contemporary issues. You can spend all day looking up the word marijuana and you'll never find it in the Bible. So how does a pastor answer a question like that? Well, the point is he gets into what I shall say, looking at the principles of the scripture. And I'm going to compare in answering this marijuana with alcohol. If after prohibition, somebody wrote me and said, well, now that alcohol is legal in this state, would it be wrong for a Christian to use that drink? Well, what's the answer to that? You see, what makes a sin a sin? In some cases, there's a clear commandment against doing something. So adultery, I can never think of one situation where adultery is ever not a sin. But stealing, there may be occasions when stealing is not a sin, like during the time of war, and you steal the guns of the enemy. That's what war is about, and that's not a sin. But when you don't have the word marijuana, well, then you need to take a look, and you definitely have alcohol in the Bible, and it's very clear that God is opposed to anybody getting drunk. So intention is everything. if you buy marijuana in order to get high, to forget your problems, now that's the first step towards suicide, as we well know. This is a way of killing yourself, and you're much more important than anybody. So if the doctor, though, prescribes marijuana for you for an illness, and I understand that in some cases it helps, well, that's something different. So intention is everything. If you buy alcohol in order to get drunk and just forget your problems, that's sin. But if you enjoy an alcoholic beverage every now and then and do it in moderation, that is not sin. So that's how I would answer that question. Right now, if I bought marijuana, it would be a sin for me personally, because I've not been prescribed by a physician, and it would be just to try and get high, which I don't really need. I get high by coming and doing the radio program every day. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor Baker. I have a question based on the Donatist controversy in the apology to the Augsburg Confession. There's a statement in the Tappert version, when sacraments are administered by unworthy men, this does not rob them of their efficacy. In terms of women pastors, is that still holding, even though it is unscriptural? Are the sacraments still valid, baptism and Holy Communion, if done by them?
Theology is the art of making distinctions, Herman. And when we're talking about sacraments, we need to take a look at the two concepts. And you use both of them, whether you were aware of it or not. And that is a sacrament valid? And second of all, is a sacrament effective? Let's just talk about in the Reformed Church, where they do not believe that you're receiving the body and blood. We would go so far to say, as Luther said at Marburg, that the sacrament isn't even valid, that you're just receiving bread and wine because there's no intention to do the sacrament. So the effectiveness of a sacrament only can occur if it's valid in the first place. So when you're asking the question, if a woman does the sacrament as a pastor, is it valid or is it effective? My answer would be as follows. If the woman is a part of a denomination where they do not believe in the sacramental quality, then it would be invalid. But if she's a member, let's say, of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, another Lutheran church, very liberal in many areas, but they do believe that you're receiving the body and blood of Christ, then the reason I would say it would be valid is because if a lay person does baptism, it's as valid as if a pastor does it. And in emergencies, if a lay person does the Lord's Supper, it's as valid. In Nazi Germany, the women were separated from the men, and when they had worship services, they would have the Lord's Supper, and it would be conducted by a woman who wasn't even a pastor. We consider that to be valid. What makes it effective, if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, is you receive it in faith. If you don't receive it in faith, then it's not effective for you, and it actually hurts you if you take a look at 1 Corinthians 11. So though I'm totally against women being ordained, I'm not going to doubt that the baptisms they've done and the sacraments they've done were invalid simply because a lay person can do those and they can be valid.
So essentially, as you're pointing out, there is a validity there, but that doesn't justify going against Scripture.
Not at all. And it's just a shame that these women pastors don't read the Bible properly, because if they did, then they would realize they should not be women pastors.
There's been a question I wanted to bring up to a person such as yourself and questions and issues you've engaged in, and I thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. I'm Tom Baker, and our number's here, in case you want to call, 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. Getting back just to the marijuana item. I want to be really clear here that if your state okays marijuana like they have in Colorado, if you take a look at the news, these people are doing that in order to get high. Now, one of the things that I'm confused on, and I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, for some reason, I mean, they smoke it goes into their lungs, all this sort of thing. And some people say that this is not at all unhealthy. I can hardly believe that, because I've read other things that there are some real health problems with marijuana. So it's just amazing that on the one hand, the government is really almost prohibiting people from smoking with the taxes and such. But on the other hand, they're okaying marijuana in some states. It just doesn't make any sense. But from a Christian point of view, which means from God's point of view, if you do something in order to get high, that is a sin. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to David. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm glad I had a chance to ask you this. I heard a Pentecostal man who's an evangelist say that Philip had four daughters, and they prophesied. And he goes, the word prophesy means preached. Preach. So they were able to be preachers or pastors. Can you answer that while I listen to it?
Sure. You want to stay on the line?
Okay.
Yeah, the term prophesy simply means to proclaim God's word. And remember, if you take a look at the work of Timothy, it was his grandmother that brought him to the faith, I believe, and his mother also was a believer, so that they would be prophesying. Anybody who speaks God's word, my Sunday school teachers, understanding the word prophesy properly would be prophesying, being prophets, proclaiming the word of God. In fact, that is a different understanding than being an ordained pastor, where you're a bishop, a husband of one wife, it says, has all kinds of understandings there. So at the very time when Paul was aware of women being able to teach the word of God, and in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have missionaries. In fact, if you were listening, I think last week at the 8:45 time, one of the women going to Latin America was requesting some funds so that she could go there. She was very good in languages, and she is referred to as a missionary, but she is not an ordained pastor. So she, when she would go to Latin America and preach the word of God, would be prophesying. Prophesying does not mean, a lot of people think this, that you can tell the future. No, it simply means to proclaim God's word. And so therefore, anytime a parent is speaking to the child about Jesus, that's in a sense the work of a prophet.
Okay, very good. I got it now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for calling. I'm Tom Baker, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call, although we're just about out of time, at 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. What we spoke about today is one individual being upset with me, feeling that I was too strong in speaking out against gay marriage and women pastors. And the point I'm trying to make is if I was, God knows that, and therefore I ask for forgiveness. But when you look at the Bible, there are some pretty strong statements, but then it's balanced off with the gospel. So if you want to take a look at that, I believe it was last Wednesday's broadcast, and you can hear me where I'm speaking out against those items, and then listen to the whole program and see if the gospel balances off the law. But it's really hard to speak the law. Would you like to go up to a Muslim and speak the law? I mean, that's really hard to do, because they're really going to get angry at you. And if it's a radical Muslim, you, as we well know, could be in fear of your life, as radical Muslims are putting to death Christians overseas. The fact of the matter, I really believe a lot of pastors do not like speaking the law, because it upsets people in the congregation. But Jesus didn't seem to bother that. Now, remember, he gave the name Sons of Boanerges to two of his disciples because they wanted him to put to death people who were against him. And Sons of Boanerges means sons of thunder. So there's no doubt, just because you are correct doesn't mean that the way you say it is appropriate. And for that, I appreciate the letter, the email that I received. But I'm hard-pressed to know, in light of the fact of what Jesus himself says at times to Pharisees and even to his own disciples, as well as the clear message from the Scripture, I'm hard-pressed to see how these things are not abominations before Almighty God, as is every sin that is one of unrepentance. Something to think about, but something to look to. By the way, I'm preaching at Hope Lutheran Church this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, as well as doing the Bible study. That's Hope Lutheran Church there in St. Anne, Missouri. And you can kind of look them up on the Google and find the place. And on the next broadcast, can you imagine telling someone, don't ever say that Jesus is the Christ? Well, guess what? Jesus says that to his own disciples. How do we understand that? That's the next broadcast. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.